Hi everybody, it's Emily here from the Willow Pod, and today we're talking to Dave. Hi Dave.
Hi.
So Dave is someone who's been through one of the Changes programmes. So tell me about how you felt when you first walked into that room, Dave, at the Changes programme.
I think the biggest feeling I felt when I went there was probably resentment. I think I was really, really resentful that I'd been, you know, put forward for it or that I needed to do it. And I think I was angry, I think it myself, for a lot of it, I think, for being in that position. And, you know, angry at the prospect of having to do a programme for domestic violence.
Did you recognise that you needed to go on that programme?
Yes, I think to an extent I did. I think my biggest problem was I spent a lot of time blaming other things, so blaming my drinking, you know, the fact that I was an alcoholic when the instances happened, and, you know, looking for different ways to explain what was going on that, you know, left me sort of a bit more blameless than I actually probably felt, I think.
So did the Changes programme work for you? Did it make a difference to you and how you thought?
Yeah. And that's a process. You know, at the beginning, there was plenty of times when I wanted to throw the hat in, you know, where I was just like, I'm not doing it. I don't have to do it. I've not been made to, you know, I could walk away from this. And, you know, there was plenty of times where I did get up and think I'm not going. But I think I made myself go, because over time, through that sort of active debate about things and being able to talk about things and look at things from different viewpoints, helped me to sort of redress that balance with myself. To look at, in my mind, a lot of my behaviour was sort of trying to control an out-of-control situation, which led to escalating arguments and things like that, and resulting eventually in a caution from the police. And I think it helped me to sort of look at that and go, well, there was an option. The option was to leave. The option was to walk away from that situation and not leave myself in it and not leave the other person in it as well, which would have been better for everybody. But I couldn't see that, because I was so closed-minded and focused on, I need to fix this, I need to do something, I can do this. And I couldn't acknowledge that that in itself is abuse, to take that choice and independence away from somebody else by trying to control that situation. It took me time through there to look at that again and go, well, yeah, I was doing that wrong. And that's the long and short of it, is that I was doing it wrong.
There must have been other people on this course that maybe didn't change their way of thinking, shall we say. How did you feel when you were sat there and other people maybe weren't grasping, weren't catching on like you were? How did that make you feel looking at those other people that weren't getting it?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of footfall of people through. So, you know, two or three different people coming in and leaving at different times and things. I think sometimes I felt quite frustrated, because at the beginning, I think I was very much like, you know, other people there, I don't want to be here, it's those sort of things. But as I got into it and I started to understand and address things properly, I think it brought out that more sort of, no, I can help you with this. You know, we can talk about this. You can sort of look at this from a different thing and try and draw people into that debate. And, you know, you can't help everyone, I think. You know, there's some people that are stuck in that mindset, and they're going to be stuck in that mindset until they want to change. Mm-hmm. But I think being able to sort of sit there and talk about it, and it's helpful as well, because when you look at somebody who's sort of, if you're through the process and they're early on, and you can look at that person and you can recognise those same obstinate and arrogant behaviours that were there when I started. Mm-hmm. It's a good mirror to look at yourself and go, is that what I look like? You know, is that how I was acting? To be able to then balance out that with where you are, it's helpful in that respect. But it is, it's good to be able to look at that and to know. And, you know, part of the process as well is giving. If you can't help people with your experiences, if you've come out the other side like I have and you've addressed those issues and you can't pass that on to other people to say, you know, life doesn't have to be like this. You know, you don't have to feel this stressed all the time. You don't have to feel this angry all the time. So, yeah, it's good to be able to pass that knowledge on to other people.
Absolutely. So we know that sometimes women can be perpetrators of domestic abuse. But as I'm speaking to a man, I'm going to ask, do you think men need to talk more? Do you think that would help some of these situations?
God, yeah. You see, I think I hate the term toxic masculinity. I hate it. You know, I think you can be masculine, you can be feminine. It doesn't make a difference in terms of that. But I think from a cultural perspective, we sort of, my generation, I'm nearly 40, do you know what I mean? We're brought up that men are men, and you know, that's the way we have to be. We're not soft, we're not gentle, we don't talk about emotions, we don't admit that we cry things, do you know what I mean? And for me, I think a lot of the frustration that eventually evolved into abusive behavior was because I wasn't telling people. You know, I was dealing with a person that was having mental health problems, you know, it's quite serious things on the whole, on a very frequent basis, and there was children around. And, you know, I wasn't willing to admit to people that I was scared. I was upset. I didn't know what to do. I was out of my depth, and it was spiraling out of control. And rather than being honest and open about it like I would be now and turn around to somebody and say, can you help me? I was trying to manage all these things. And I think emotions underneath, there's always a cause for everything. You know, we don't wake up in the morning as an addict. I didn't wake up in the morning thinking, you know what, I'm going to get so blotted today. I'm not going to realize why I'm on a park bench at 3 o'clock in the morning. We don't think like this. There's always an underlying reason for everything. And I do think a lot of it is men as a whole, we don't feel comfortable to be able to say to somebody, can I have a hug? You know, I've had a crap day. You know, it's been rubbish. You know, my boss has been screaming at me for 7.5 hours. I got stuck in a 2-hour traffic jam behind somebody who crashed into a post, and I'm annoyed and I'm frustrated. But then we come in and we explode with this anger that comes out of us rather than just saying the obvious. And I think that's what I learned from the Changes program, is that sometimes our feelings, they're not things that we should ignore. We should be able to talk about them and say, this is bothering me. And again, in this sort of instance as well, people do things that annoy you. You know, we get annoyed. Oh, yeah. We should be able to say, that's really annoying. Can you stop doing that without having to scream or shout and things? And again, it's a skill. It's always a skill that we have to learn. Maturity plays a massive part in that. I had a very immature aspect on the world. I was a man child wandering around masquerading in an adult's life at times. And taking that responsibility of saying to somebody, I need help. There shouldn't be a shame in there. It shouldn't be stigmatized as badly as it is, I think, for men. You know, it is still quite a stigma to have that conversation.
Absolutely. And it's not a skill that anybody's taught, is it? You know, we're not taught these things at school.
No, exactly. And I think it should be. You know, being able to talk about things should be taught at every step, really. But it is something that we have to learn. But equally, I think I've learned as well through the program is that I feel more ready to ask people. If I see my friends struggling, people that I know, and I can see, you know, that person don't quite look right, they don't sound right. You know what I mean? I can say, are you okay? Do you want to have a chat about something? Can I help? You know, which also feeds into that sort of sense of talking about things, giving somebody an open door to say, speak to me, is helpful.
Yeah. Oh, it's... I really want to commend you for coming along and talking to us, because I'm sure it's not easy. It's not a nice thing to talk about, but I do think this podcast will be helpful to a number of people out there. I'm hoping you'll come back and talk to us about the word perpetrator and what you think of it, and maybe we'll get some of the Changes team in to talk to us about it as well, and see if we can come up with maybe a better way of referring to people who have been on the Changes program. I think you said a participant.
Gladly. I think, you know, I walked out of it and I thought, if I can help one person later on, if I can, you know, help one person to not go down that path or to change their ways and realize that it doesn't always have to be like this. You know, we can be better people by acknowledging sometimes we'd get it wrong. If we can move on from that, that's the most important thing.
Well, I really hope this podcast helps people. And just thank you again. Thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.